And just so I don't have to hear it, if you guys are unfamiliar, welcome to the Sarah Fraser Show podcast, a daily pop culture pod where we talk everything under the sun, from sometimes controversial guests to just sometimes wild guests. And my husband is here today.
I'm back.
Schman, a.k.a. Dan, who every time I come on and I just want to start a natural conversation on the podcast is like, do I need to tell you how to do your job? And you mansplain me. That's what usually happens. But welcome
you
to the
make,
welcome.
I'm just trying. Clearly, I'm trying to help. And I'm glad it finally has resonated. But you're welcome.
Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, you are back because fans love you. All right. Fans love you. They agree with most of your hot takes. I believe you got a 5-star review on my Apple Podcast reviews, and I got a 1-star.
Wow.
And yes, and a comment of I'm a new listener, and I didn't realize Sarah was MAGA. So
you're not MAGA. That's a bit of a reach. You are a nut job, but you're not MAGA.
You're a nut job too. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding?
Anyhow, the fans decide.
Well, we are getting into a hot political year, and I think I'm going to have some hot takes for you. Mm. And you can absolutely... this person was very upset. 1-star. I found this podcast recently. Listen almost every day. Thank you so much, by the way, Tricky Granny. Listening tonight to Sarah and her husband, I realized Sarah is a MAGA to fawn over and praise Joe Rogan is offensive in light of all of the disinformation he spreads with the quacks that he has on his show, particularly during the pandemic. His reckless rhetoric surely contributed to listeners not getting vaxxed, and worse.
There's more, but I think she likes...
No, that's what she wrote.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, 1-star. So you can't make them all
guess
happy.
Guess what? I believe that most people that listen to this show are far brighter than I am. And I believe that people should have a choice. And I believe that people should not have been forced.
Okay,
to get
let's get into the entertainment section here before you prove this person right.
All right, fine. So we got a lot to cover. We watched Roadhouse over the weekend, which is such a classic, which was remade by Jake Gyllenhaal. And... oh my God, Conor McGregor was in it. Mm-hmm. Actually, can I tell you, I'll give you my feedback on that.
Yeah, you know, let's preview the topics and then get into it.
Don't tell me how to run my show.
Because usually what you do is you preview the topic and then start talking
about it. Well, I get excited.
It's like, let's stick to the rundown.
We have to talk about that. I also want to know your thoughts on, the internet is calling for major celebrities and even some podcasters. I've actually even received comments. Should people who speculated as to what was going on with Kate Middleton apologize?
Wow.
Yes, we have that to cover. And then... oh my God. Oh, I do have a relationship thing. Something you've been doing around the house that I want people.
Okay.
And this will win back my fans that believe I'm MAGA. Okay.
I can't wait to hear about this.
The fans that think I'm MAGA, this will get them back on my side.
On Team Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's start with Kate Middleton because that continues to trend. Aside from I do have to shout out, it was a great weekend for TSFS thanks to the thousands of listeners that tuned in to Drake Bell.
Mm-hmm. Shout out you.
Well, shout out to Drake Bell for trusting me to come on this show and tell his full story. If you guys missed that, Drake Bell, famously from Nickelodeon's Drake and Josh, The Amanda Show, gave me his first exclusive interview on Friday. It has gone everywhere. Hollywood Reporter, Hollywood Unlocked,
Variety.
Daily Mail, Variety, Business Insider, everywhere you can possibly think it's gone viral. And he was kind enough, brave enough, gracious enough to sit down with me for over an hour and tell his full story, including, because I've gotten some mixed things about this. He did plead guilty to a child endangerment charge, but he's never been a sex offender, and he talks about that. And of course, now he's sober. He did rehab. So anyway, that's up for
you
to decide.
If you haven't listened, now's the time. I mean, finish this episode, then go back and listen.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that was really trending over the weekend is Kate Middleton came out on Friday and announced that she has some form of cancer. Mm-hmm. She had this very extensive abdominal surgery a month or so ago. At first, they believed it to be non-cancerous. And then when they tested, like they usually do, they do a pathology test. It came back, hey, there is traces of cancer. So we're going to start you on some form of a chemo regimen. This was announced on Friday, getting a ton of support. Of course, you and I both lost our dads to cancer. Know how scary it is when you hear you have the C word or someone you love. But then there's been this movement over the weekend for celebs like Kim Kardashian, Andy Cohen, Stephen Colbert allegedly received a cease and desist from the woman that was accused of being Prince William's mistress to stop talking about her and stop saying that she has had an affair with Prince William or they are going to sue. And people are saying, where are the apologies to Kate Middleton? Do you believe that people should apologize? And Blake Lively has apologized. She says she's mortified that she would.
If Blake Lively's on board. Do I believe people should apologize? I think the answer is not necessarily yes or no. That's just the reality.
Oh, come on.
Here it is. Ready?
Go on.
Okay. It's a tragic story. Anyone that it is such a miserable disease. And there, we should all have some level of compassion or sympathy or empathy for her, for her family, for what they're going to go through and what they're going through. So to that regard, yes. On the however, you know, that's my Stephen A. Smith impression. They are the royal family. They are, their entire life is in the spotlight. And they chose to keep her out of the open for what, 3 months? 2 months?
I think it's been like a month and a half. I
thought she had her abdomen surgery in January.
Yeah, she did. And supposedly they always said like she would be appearing at Easter. Mm-hmm. Okay, but then that debacle, and this is the thing, right? Like they completely mishandled this.
Correct.
Like I don't think anyone needs to give an apology to this. They completely bungled this entire thing. 100%. Why they let Kate put out
a doctored Photoshop.
That's the dumbest thing.
Picture.
And then they don't want. Now, by the way, the royal family isn't asking for any apologies because they're in bed with the press.
Mm-hmm. This is stupid.
This is such a false
I have compassion outrage for them, but their whole life is out in the open. And if you can't live your life one way and expecting it to, you know, like there are,
you are going to be the queen. Okay. I mean, you, sorry to interrupt you, but anyway.
But you did. Now there's another apology.
All right, go on.
No, go ahead. She's going to be the queen. It's your show. I'm just here.
I understand. It sounds like from her video that she did, they wanted time to talk, to explain to their children. Okay, they've clearly had that time to explain to their kids. I mean, you are going to be the queen. They have let this narrative run to the point that what did they expect?
Correct. They leave it open for speculation. So,
correct.
So I have sympathy for what she and her family will be going through. I have no sympathy for how they've handled this.
It's
PR 101. They messed up.
It's such false outrage and just so why the internet is so stupid. Mm-hmm. It's just all these, because, and this is what drives me bonkers about all these people now coming. And they said, people on my Instagram, are you going to apologize for speculating?
No.
Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off.
Go fuck yourself. Because if any single person had been correct on these allegations, if one podcaster out there, if Stephen Colbert had been right, everyone would be like, oh, you knew the whole time, Stephen. Like, oh, this, like, you're a genius. You're a hero. The psychics predicting it, if they had actually been accurate. Okay, none of them were. But anyway, but if they had been, everyone would have been like, oh my God, you broke the case. These some of these podcasters are getting it because they made whole series on it.
Sure.
And it's like, okay, if you guys followed, you all consumed and listened, and now you're coming back on all of our pages, like, shouldn't you be ashamed? Eat a dick.
I agree. Moving on.
I'm on a customer service kick right now. Customer service means so much to me. And Uplift Desk has a 4.9 Google rating on their customer service and thousands of 5-star reviews. Oh my God, sign me up. Actually, I already own their stuff, so I'm here. Go to upliftdesk.com and use the promo code TSFS right now to save 5% off your entire order. This company is so customer service based. You can do everything by customizing the color, the type of top material you want for your desk. Shman has their standing desk and I have their ergonomic Invoke chair, which I love. My foot pain has gone away. My back pain has gone away from using their products. Go and check them out. If you've never heard of them, you're about to fall in love. Go to upliftdesk.com and use the promo code TSFS for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com to get 5% off your entire order with the promo code TSFS. How ironic! I love this. Got a new podcast for you to listen to. Yes, I do. It's the Dr. John Delaney Show. Schman and I were actually playing a clip from Dr. John's podcast because he was doing the topic of, are youth travel sports ruining families? Well, Dr. John Delaney has over 20 years of sitting with families and dealing with hurting people and mental health issues. He has a PhD in counseling. Delaney walks alongside real people as they navigate tough decisions. And this is actually something that I really enjoy about his show. It's caller-driven. I feel like I'm going to have to get a caller-driven show, Dr. John. I love this. Anyway, listen to the Dr. John Delaney Show wherever you get your podcasts, or you can follow the link in the description of this podcast episode. I always make it very, very easy to find my sponsors and people that I partner with. So start downloading and listening today to the Dr. John Delaney podcast. Enjoy. Are you trying to conceive? Have you tried a lot of things, don't know a reliable supplement to take? Well, I'm introducing you to EU Natural. It's spelled EU Natural. They're on Amazon, and they have a conception for her formula and a conception for him, which, by the way, has over 23,000 five-star reviews on Amazon, and now I'm taking it. Very easy to take because, you know, sometimes multivitamins are tough. Well, this one is awesome, has a great vanilla flavor. I take it with food. And right now, when you go to Amazon and you buy any EU Natural product or their bundle, put in the code FRASER20, get 20% off. I'm so excited for you guys to be on this journey with me to conceive, and this can give you the extra boost that you need. So order right now. Check out EU Natural on Amazon and use code FRASER20 to get 20% off their conception bundle or your entire order. That's EU Natural on Amazon, or follow the link on our website for 20% off the conception bundle with the promo code FRASER, FRASER20, FRASER20. All right, let's move on. So Roadhouse, I can't wait to hear your thoughts. For people who don't know, the original Roadhouse featured Patrick Swayze.
Arguably his finest role.
And one of the greatest actors, I think, of all time, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, so versatile. Yeah, exactly. He went from Ghost to Point Break.
He did action.
Oh, I know.
He did drama. Don't think he ever did a comedy. He hosted Saturday Night Live with that iconic sketch with Chris Farley. But I don't think he ever, I can't recall if he ever did comedy.
Sadly, died of cancer, by the way.
Anyways, Roadhouse.
So this much anticipated remake, right? Mm-hmm. I guess loosely based on the character Dalton, but Jake Gyllenhaal.
A modern take.
Jake Gyllenhaal, Conor McGregor. What did you think of Roadhouse?
I've thought a lot about this.
Really?
Probably more than anyone ever should. But I'll preface all this with the original Roadhouse is by far the best worst movie ever made. It is so good because it's so bad. And there are so many elements from just the philosophy of Dalton to the world building of a bouncer who's so good at his job that he gets hired to go clean up the Roadhouse, the Double Deuce in Jasper, Missouri. That Wade Garrett, his mentor, is there. Like there's this whole,
who's played by
Sam Elliott.
Elliott. Oh yep. My God.
And
so hot.
And ultimately, it's about a businessman who wants to modernize a small town by bringing in JCPenney, and you know, people die. That's basically what it's about.
Can you imagine how for a JCPenney? Okay.
And when you think about, so there are so many great lines, and there are actually some philosophical takes that I apply and I've used about, you know, when it's time to be nice and when it's time to not be nice. So all of that being said, this version, and you know, if you have not watched it, spoiler alert, it's not as good.
It's so violent.
So it is violent.
It's like to the point, like I had to actually close my eyes like the last 20 minutes. I'm just not into violence.
It goes off the rails in the last 30 to 45 minutes. Let me tell you what I liked, what I didn't like. I like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Excellent. I agree. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Actually, really good in this.
Yes.
Very likable.
I like the director, Doug Liman. He did Mr. and Mrs. Smith and one of the Bourne Identities. And He's done Jumper. He's done some good action films.
Okay.
So I like Doug Liman. I like the casting. And there were some ridiculous moments. But when you think about the original Roadhouse, there are ridiculous moments there too. You know, Dalton, Patrick Swayze, rips the guy's throat out. You know, the like that's because that's what how he got in trouble in the first place. That's that's his haunted past.
Okay.
There's the scene where the bad guys drive the monster truck through the guy's auto dealership because he's trying to get him to sell the property.
Okay.
You know, there's some ridiculous moments, and there are some ridiculous moments in this remake. I thought the fight scenes were good in the sense of how they were shot. Because I did my research. You know, anytime I'm a guest on a podcast.
Oh, that's good, because I didn't have any desire to do any research.
They did a new kind of filming technique of fights. So I thought...
What is the new filming
technique? It's a way they do different cuts to almost seamlessly put the stunt people in. But then they also, you know, they also did a different narrative where anytime someone was concussed, you know, like the vantage point of the camera kind of echoed that. So I thought there were some unique ways they filmed, but it lacks the heart and the charm. This is where I find the major fault. Patrick Swayze's Dalton is a NYU graduate philosophy major who's also very good at martial arts and the best cleaner in the business, right? So he has, and there's again this world of bouncers and cleaners who in that is part of the, you know, the culture of this film, of the original. That is lacking in this. He's an ex-MMA fighter who has a haunted past. And like now he just goes around and fights people or pretends to fight people to get money in an underground fight ring. And then he gets hired to go be this bouncer at this other bar where, like, I don't know if he's actually had bouncing experience before. And he, you know, there are some shout outs. You know, he talks about how no one ever wins a fight. So there are some elements that overlap. But I look at the original Roadhouse as one of these lightning in a bottle films that was constantly on cable, repeatedly on cable in the early 90s. It picked up its own cult following. It's kind of like, not to the same degree, but Shawshank Redemption. Redemption was not a critical success, and it only gained popularity when it started making the rounds on cable and VHS rentals. So I look at it like there will never be another film like that because of how diverse our streaming options are. You know, when you think about the most, I'll say, you know, cult following, culture breaking show that might have been recently would have been the one with Joe Exotic, right?
Oh,
but that was also
God, yeah.
A cultural moment where everyone was locked in and it was like
Tiger King.
Everyone was watching Tiger King. So we're not going to have that.
That was such a moment. Oh my God.
My recommendation, watch the film, have low expectations, but it is not going to be what you think it is.
Well, I think what I'm finding hard about these movies is where is, to your point, there's no more storyline anymore. There's no more like character development. It's just fighting and sex. This was my issue with Saltburn, which many people thought was just so genius. It's not genius. It's just grotesque in sex. Like they're like, all right, let's see how we can, because there's really no further character development. Like,
no, they're all horrible human beings.
They're all horrible human beings. And it's none of it makes sense. It's like once the rich kid finds out that the psychopath is another rich kid, like, wouldn't you, I mean, not anyone in normal life that would raise a red flag for you as though, I'm not going to like let this kid ride back to my house. I mean, it just is so... It's so unbelievable. It's so stupid. It's the sex scenes are so dumb.
Are we talking about Roadhouse or Saltburn?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
And so my issue with Roadhouse was quite similar. Conor McGregor, I thought, was such well. He looks like a nutshell.
He is a nutshell in the whole thing.
I'm like,
he does
if
a good job.
Conor McGregor came into my bar, I would be like, ah, he's just frightening, unhinged. He plays a great frightening, unhinged character, but. There's no, I mean, that was the thing about the guy. They had like real conversations in the original Roadhouse with the guy who had his own philosophy about modernizing things. And then Dalton had, there's no No, Conor McGregor's just fight scene after. It looks like he was sponsored by UFC.
The characters are all one dimensional.
Yes, it's so.
So
it's
there
a
is
drama.
Not much evolution. The only thing you might look at is some evolution of Dalton in terms of fighting for something. But at the
yeah,
same,
but Dalton had a girlfriend. Dalton fell in love with like a
I'm
local.
About, in the remake, he when he sees the bookstore burned down. Again, spoiler alert. Sorry, guys. That changes his vantage point on some things. But to your point, everyone's one-dimensional. It just tells you kind of a moment, tells a story captured in time. And frankly, it's going with low expectations so you won't be disappointed.
Jake Gyllenhaal is great. But at the end, he doesn't even keep the girlfriend, right?
He moves on.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's talk about something that's going on in our lives where I feel as though finally the audience will be on my side.
Oh, boy.
So, Schman, on the weekends, you know, we're home. We're soccer spring break, so you don't have soccer games to coach. And recently you've started, I would say in the past couple of months, on Saturdays when we're having family days, we're getting ready in the morning or doing something, you put your headphones in and start listening to a podcast. Do people find this, like, is
Hold
this,
on.
Okay, I do
how,
not think,
I've been doing
thank
this.
You, I'm
how,
getting a thumbs
up. How
often
up. Have I been doing this?
Like a year, probably.
Okay, let's finalize it. First you said the last couple of months, now you said a year. So
well, maybe it's only come to my attention in the past couple of months.
How about we talk about yesterday?
Relationship avoidance?
No.
Or is this I need
what was
some
I doing,
downtime?
What was I doing yesterday?
Laundry.
So as I move from our apartment to the laundry room and sort laundry and use the stain remover on our son's disgusting clothing, I listen to a podcast. So I'll put my earbuds in and I'll do that. And if I'm doing the dishes, I might listen to a podcast. And most of the reason I put my earbuds in is that the podcast will oftentimes use vulgar words and I don't want our son to hear them. Which he actually repeated when I ran a red light today. So I don't think it's as widespread as you think. And here's your rationale why. But to your point, you know, if it's family time, I won't have them in. And I don't believe I'm doing that. So.
Well, I appreciate that you on Sunday you did not you took them out. We went to the beach.
It was a lovely day.
Yeah, it was an awesome day. We walked, we went to our favorite Bagel Nosh spot in Santa Monica.
Shout out Bagel Nosh.
Shout out to the Bagel Nosh. Although their toaster wasn't working. I don't know how that happens when you run a bagel shop, but okay. And so, but I'm going to pay attention to this. This seemed a little bit relationship avoidance. This seemed as though it's
yeah,
Saturday.
Relationship avoidance for the guy who goes on his wife's podcast to talk about relationships.
Seemed like you needed an hour break. I'm going to be honest.
can you fault me for it? I need 2 hours after this.
Well, I never get tired of you. I really
I'm
don't.
Just gonna let the silence linger here for a moment.
I don't. I have so much fun with you. Mm-hmm. You're like my bestie.
Oh, thanks.
You are.
Oh.
Well.
Thumbs up.
A thumbs up. I could. I'm going to tell you right now, you are my podcast. I don't need to put in headphones. I could listen to you. I love running thoughts by you, business ideas by you, interviews by you.
I'm glad. I'm just happy to be part of the team.
Well, it'd be nice if it felt reciprocated.
You know? What's next on the rundown?
So the other thing we were going to try, but these
are
very disappointing.
Are we going to do this or are we going to do Instagram?
Oh, you want to talk Instagram?
Which one?
Let's talk Instagram. Well, Instagram, people are very upset. Instagram over the weekend implemented, well, people are just finding out about this, but Instagram turned off your political notifications and people are pissed. And if you want to go back in and turn them on as we are heading into the hottest political year and everybody has to vote, it's going to be a very important one. Instagram has sneaky now limited political content and it has outraged users. And you've got to go into your account and your settings.
Okay. What political content has it limited?
Well, okay. So they, of course, don't release that information.
Okay.
But this is what people believe. If you are conservative, people on the conservative side are saying Zuckerberg is limiting he wants to limit all Trump ads.
Okay.
Trump ads, conservatives running, that's it. If you're on the liberal side, the liberals believe that he is limiting Palestinian, pro-Palestine talk.
So he's irked everyone.
Basically. Okay. People feel as though he's trying to control the Palestine-Israel narrative and the MAGA, the Trump. So if you want to change the censorship settings, you have to follow the simple steps to ensure that you are exposed, because you do have the right to decide. Settings and activity on your Instagram is where you'll find content preferences and then political content, which you can switch. Don't limit. I just did this yesterday because, in fact, I went in and he had limited mine.
Wow. Okay.
And this is where then it's like, okay, you know, you and I argued, get rid of TikTok. Why aren't we getting rid of him too?
Well, you have the choice. Just don't use this platform.
Well, it's a little bit different, but...
Well, here, I look at it this way. First off, Meta owns that platform, right? Just like when iTunes made us download those five U2 songs against our will, right?
Yes.
They own the platform, so they have the right. They have the right to do what they want to do with it. This is not... It's not a violation of freedom of speech because it's an independent platform. So I think where they may have failed is providing more notice. Because if you change your default settings without some sort of notification, you know, if I'm running it, I'm going to put for 72 hours, I'm going to put a little notice, a little pop-up that comes up. You can opt out of it after one click that says, please note we've changed our settings for political postings. If you wish to revert to the original settings, do this, click this button, and that just be done with it. Boom. Because when you do this without fanfare, you end up questioning the motives. That being said, how toxic is social media during election season? It's awful. So maybe he's trying to minimize the negative discourse. And everyone can look at it a different way in terms of what he's trying to accomplish. I know your boy Trump doesn't really care for...
Okay, he's not my boy. I've never voted for
him. According to Ritzy Granny whoever posted that.
That is just such a weak argument that you guys make about anybody that objects to something that the Democrats are doing.
So,
it's, oh, you're MAGA, you're MAGA. No, it's like, how about you look at your own party? They're both the same. You're bought
you got another
in.
Thumbs up there.
Get over yourself.
The social media is a negative echo chamber. And yeah, I think, kudos to them for taking action on managing it.
Why don't they focus on foreign interaction? Like, what? That's what's like irritating.
Well, they are. Our government is doing that with TikTok.
And they do it with Facebook, too. But I mean, Russia interfered on Facebook. Why aren't they putting out a notice of what they're going to do about bots and foreign interaction for this episode?
They should.
Well, they don't. That's the problem. They
okay. So what do you think this was a wise decision? Do you think they should have done this?
No.
Okay.
I think it's, look, my podcast, right? One of the things that I've been debating about, and I've talked to you about this, and I give Spotify a ton of credit for this. My show is released on Spotify. They said to us as creators, we are heading into one of the biggest political advertising years we are ever going to see. The advertising dollars are going to be insane. You have to decide, do you want to take on political ads onto your podcast? And after thinking about this, I am going to do that for the free platform because I believe my audience has the right to decide to hear arguments, their ads. You don't want to listen? I'm going to offer a free, or not a free, but a very affordable, if they want to go ad-free, you don't want to hear any political ads, I'm going to offer a paywall service so you can opt out. But I appreciate that Spotify came to us all in an email. It wasn't like this is a personal phone call, but they just said, what do you want to do?
Okay. Well, maybe
we live in a democratic
should,
society. They ought to have had a pop-up. Hey, do you want to see this content? If you don't, here's an option to opt out.
So
just like
agree.
I'm saying, here's an option. I'm starting in April. I'm going to offer for a very low rate. You can go completely ad-free.
Okay.
If you want your sanity when you listen to this show and Drake Bell.
Well, trust me. If you listen to this show, you're not going to keep your sanity. At least for me.
Oh, okay.
I live it every day.
Oh,
Let's go talk about these PO cupcakes.
Go get married to somebody else. Okay. Divorce me on the show. Let's see it.
Would be something if I served you papers right now.
Serve them.
That'd be something.
Serve them.
Yeah. All right. Watch a homicide occur in real time. You try to strangle me. Okay, let's talk these cupcakes.
So there was a viral post on Reddit. First time buying the carrot cupcakes from Costco. They're delicious, but has anyone noticed that they look like penises? And if you're on our YouTube, you can see it. Okay, so this was a Reddit feed. So I got very excited about this. I said, I got to go to Costco.
I mean, it combines two of your favorite things, carrot cake and dick.
I do like both. So we went to our Costco here in Los Angeles, and I'm quite disappointed.
The picture from Reddit clearly shows balls. clearly shows balls.
I love it.
These ones are lacking testicles. And I wouldn't be surprised if Costco had a memo to its bakery department saying, let's make the carrots a little more carrot-like and a little less phallic.
They definitely got a notice because people are saying that.
If anyone listening to the show works at Costco or has an inside scoop of a Costco bakery, please let us know. Email us at thesarahfrasershow@gmail.com. We want the inside scoop on the penis cupcakes.
So, okay, I want to eat these. Now, they don't look like penises. That's disappointing Easter.
But yeah, because that's what we want for Easter is.
We reviewed the, what was it, 3-pound carrot cake?
It was a banana bread. It was a big old loaf of banana bread.
That was a 2 for me. It was not that good. It wasn't that moist. But these are supposed to be epic.
Pardon my rage here. I need that fork.
Oh, yeah, you need the fork? Yeah. Okay, here we go. Are you trying to lose weight and keep it off for good? If you were like me, I have done every fad diet under the sun, and I started dieting when I was just 12 years old. I gained and lost 150 pounds from the ages of 12 to 28 when I finally got off the yo-yo dieting train. Well, if I had known of Dr. Applin and MyOptimalBody.com, my life would have been a lot easier, and I would have resolved my weight issues without doing drugs like Ozempic. Fine if you're on them, but if they're not working for you or you don't want to try them, MyOptimalBody.com has incredible success rates. Go to their website, check out their reviews, and see people who have had lasting weight loss change. Visit MyOptimalBody.com to request an appointment. Be sure to let them know that the Sarah Fraser Show sent you so you can qualify for a free personalized assessment plus a free 30-day supply of their gut repair product when you sign up for their customized plan. Again, that's MyOptimalBody.com. To request an appointment. Go there now and let me know what you think. I love the frosting, cream cheese frosting on a carrot cake, and then with a little buttercream frosting.
That's pretty good. Just from an aesthetic standpoint.
I love it.
From an aesthetic standpoint.
These are good.
It's a pretty wide cupcake, girthy, if you will. Some white frosting on top. Good glaze. See what I did there? No? Okay.
But there is... I'll tell you what. That's good. If we're ranking, what is our ranking system? 1 out of 10? Yes, because I think the banana bread I gave like a 4 or 5 too. This is a 9.
Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised.
This is a 9. I would buy these from Costco. These almost taste... not quite homemade, because homemade has a really distinct homemade taste. So it doesn't taste as normal chemically as a lot of your stuff. The cream cheese frosting is not overpowering. It's a light cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Then with the buttercream frosting, which is the carrot, it adds a little sweetness, but it's not too sweet. I actually enjoy these. These are a 9 out of 10 for me.
You know what? Costco, you sons of bitches, you've done it again.
I do love a Costco. And last time we went, I even tried on a diamond ring. I was like, God.
Yeah, we moved quickly to the next section there. Costco's great. It's one of my favorite places to shop at. It's my favorite place to acquire items. I don't like shopping there.
Why?
Because the rules of society are thrown out the window at Costco. Like, if this was the people in their carts stopping in the middle of an aisle, driving on the left side instead of the right with their cart, it's like it's like one of those third world scenes in a movie where there's goats walking through the road and trucks overtipped, and it's there's no way to get in and out quickly.
At least not in Los Angeles. A lot of people go there. It's affordable.
But they do a good job.
You know why this isn't a 10, though, for me? Not enough nuts. And I know that's like, that seems not. Like, that is actually genuine feedback. What I appreciate, I love a lot of nuts. Mm-hmm. And it's not because these are the penis Easter cupcakes.
Oh, but let's go that way.
But this, so no pun intended. However, what I did enjoy about the banana bread is it had a thick nut coating.
Mm-hmm, you did. You like that.
There aren't enough nuts in this, I'll be honest.
Well, have you tried putting more in your mouth?
Yes. Okay. Well, I wish this thing would nut in my mouth because that would actually...
All right. Let's stop. You're now... You've taken innuendo and now we are... Now look, slapping across your face.
To anybody out there wondering, like, oh, how do you and I keep it together? Do we have a good relationship? Therapy. We've gone to a therapist for like 6 years, 7 years. She's saved us. So there's a new article out. If you and your partner use any of these five phrases regularly, your relationship is stronger than most. I thought we'd go through these to see.
Let's hear.
Because we love to joke and we pick on each other a lot. But I would say, I say this all the time. I could never do what I'm doing without you ever in my life. You support me so much. You make my life better.
Oh.
And you are the most.
Oh.
No, and you are low maintenance. I love coming home. There's never any tension in our house. We just say what we mean.
No, go on. That's a joke.
Okay. Maybe there is tension. Yeah. You've got your headphones in
a lot. All right, let's hear.
Okay, well, moving on. So here are the phrases. Help me understand this. A Harvard psychologist, Courtney Warren, says successful couples don't avoid conflict. This is what I'm saying about you and me. They just better navigate it. We often assume we know what our partner is saying when in reality they might be expressing something more nuanced or totally different. If your partner reacts to a situation in a way that you don't understand, telling them that you want to know them better is key to resolving conflict. Help me understand this. Do you and I say that to each other?
Not necessarily those words, but if there's some sort of confusion, like, what do you mean? Or a better description of that is, don't assume anything.
Yeah, that's a good one. Also on the list, number two, is I can forgive you. Can you forgive me? Studies have shown that couples who practice forgiveness are more likely to enjoy longer, more satisfying relationships.
Sure, that's about having repair. You know, there are going to be conflicts and arguments and disagreements, and it's just finding repair. Don't go to bed angry.
Here, we could save you thousands in therapy bills. This is what our therapist tells us. You have to slow down every fight. Look into each other's eyes, understand what the person's deeper emotion is behind it. So if they're like getting upset about something,
don't give this away for free. Have people sign up for your therapy.
No, okay. I will. All right. And then after you guys get to the bottom of the emotions, you have to repair it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. I love you. You have to do it. Yep. Okay. I'm committed to you. This might seem obvious, but communicating your promise to one another can help you and your partner feel validated.
Yeah, being you and me against the world, babe.
That is our motto.
Yep.
I like you. The healthiest couples don't just love each other. They like each other too. So you should be saying, I love you, but you should also be saying, I like you. Now, this is where...
I like you.
Do you like me?
Do you like... It's a classic Borat.
Well, yeah, but no. Do you really like me?
I do. Why do you think I'm on your podcast?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you are one of my besties. Like, I enjoy you. Because people don't know this about you, but because you come off, like everyone that ever met you back in the day, people are always like, I don't see what you see in him. Because you're not like warm and fuzzy. And
on the inside, though, I am.
Yeah, but once you get to know you, you're dry. Mm-hmm. But at first, you're kind of a stick in the mud.
Yeah, well, people, I have been told I'm intimidating, which I'm just a big cuddly teddy bear.
But this is, I think, why our relationship lasts. Saying thank you is especially true for small, everyday acts. Mm-hmm. More couples that tell one another they thank each other and they're grateful for each other have longer-lasting relationships. Tell them why that small thing is a big deal to you. Thank them for making the coffee every morning. I love waking up to the smell of it. It's the sounds of it in the kitchen. It just makes my day start off right. Thank you.
Attitude of gratitude.
Do you know you do that? That's the truth. It is the small things.
Yeah, and you do a good job. You've taken on a lot of the evening dinner prep, which I appreciate. No, it's. I think living with another person is challenging, as Ben Affleck said. Marriage is work. It's hard work. It's good work. It's hard work.
I didn't
he's
work
right.
out.
Well, he's got another marriage going on. But the reality is there are always ups and downs. And I think
there are.
It's very easy with marriage or anything, jobs, family, to only look at the negatives and not reflect on the positives and name the things that you have an attitude of gratitude for. And it sounds silly and stupid, but it's all about having a positive mindset. And are there days that, you know, I want to push you out of the way? Yeah, sure. I mean,
go on. Yeah, keep telling everybody how you feel.
I'm sure there are some days where you're like, I don't, you know, what? Get out of my way here, you know?
But, well, you're one of those people that's extremely smart, but then you do dumb moves. Mm, and that
go on.
Drives me nuts. No, I know.
Let's hear some more of the attitude of gratitude.
I'm not going to say them.
Let's talk
about it. I'm very thankful for you.
Yeah, I'm thankful for you, too.
You made some moves in life.
I'm going to be walking right out of this room. Anyways, I like you.
I love you, and you have to. I always feel like I changed my attitude when we went to that crazy Catholic 3-day event, which for the most part was ridiculous. But there was the guy there that was like, he was a marriage counselor, and he had two awesome pieces of advice that have always stuck with me. And one is, you have to, in a relationship, sometimes you got to let things go in one ear and out the other. Like, you don't have to pick every.
You don't have to be right about everything.
Let it go. Mm-hmm. And he also said something to the extent of, you have to think right by your, he was saying, don't gossip to your family about your partner, because they're always going to eventually be on your side, and they're going to reinforce everything that's wrong. Think right by your partner, that your partner is on your side, that they are good, that they are doing the things. And of course, I mean, if they're a horrible, toxic, abusive person, that's different. But I mean, you are an amazing person. And so in those times of, like, why did you do that? I know your heart. You know, I have to say.
No, that's solid advice. And to be fair, though, when you have complained to your family about me and have taken a one-sided approach, they have sided with me.
Now, except for my family, I will say. Yeah. And that is the truth. Long before I married you, I would go to them and bitch, and I'd be like, oh, that's it. And they were like, are you kidding? Why would you ever? Mm-hmm. You need to marry this man. Like, what is wrong with you? He's right. They always took your side.
Shout out Lish and Seth.
They never won. They never agree with me.
Well, I think it's more about me than you. Just don't take that personally.
They know you're a good man. Mm-hmm. All right. Get a social media account if you are going to continue on this show. Yes.
And if
the fans want it. They're giving a thumbs up. All right. Jam-packed, another jam-packed week
we
of shows.
You know, like we're straddling the 40-minute mark on all these episodes. I've been told there were like 25, 30-minute episodes. So I need a bump in pay if I want to continue.
Well, we're both chatty.
That's honest.
There was a Sister Wives recap yesterday.
Ooh.
There's a huge 90-day fiancé divorce tomorrow. I know. I'll tell you about that. Thursday, of course, our guy David Yontiff returns.
He's back.
With a Vanderpump Rules.
Whoa.
Yep. Vanderpump Rules recap for season 11.
I find Tom Sandoval to be a fascinating character. Just
you should reach out to him. Yeah. He would love it.
Yeah, he's a bit of a dummy. I feel bad for him, but
I don't think you should say that, because I think there's actually a shot that you guys could be friends. Like, he would love to.
Do I have to start wearing a flat billed cap and tank tops?
And okay. I'm going to be honest. I don't think that's a good idea, because I could leave you for Schwartz.
Well, that's leave you for Tom Sandoval. we'll both be on the market.
Okay. Well, that would be something. Okay. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.